Romans chapter 5, we're going to be continuing our study in the same passage we've been looking at for the last few weeks. There's still much to glean from these verses. So we'll be looking at Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. So follow along with me as I read. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace that was by the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift followed many trespasses, bringing justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous."
We're in Romans chapter 5 this morning, and as I talked to my mother yesterday on the phone, and I wished her a happy Mother's Day, and she said to me, "Well, Tim, are you preaching about mothers tomorrow?" And I said, "No, Mom, I'm in Romans chapter 5. And she said, "What, you're not preaching to mothers and about mothers?" And I said, "Yes, I am. There's no greater passage in the Bible than to know that mothers are connected with Adam's sin, and that Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, was imputed to all those who believe." And she didn't say a word. But I know if she was in front of me, she was just smiling, because she knew how important this passage is. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to look at Romans chapter 5. Father, as we humbly bow before you this morning, we do thank you for the truth of your word. And God, we understand that all scripture is inspired. It's given by you. It's profitable. And yet, God, there are certain portions of scripture that we desperately need to understand. Father, we have that passage like that before us. So we need your help. It's not easy. Give us understanding. Give us comprehension by the Holy Spirit this morning. Guard our hearts and minds from going to other places as we have the scripture before us today. And Father, we would ask in great anticipation for your work in our hearts to change us, and continue to change us by the Spirit through your word. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19, the Apostle Paul's thoughts are complex. They're hard to follow. Even as Frederick read this passage this morning, and I was listening intently to the words he was saying, I thought to myself, if someone was not familiar with Scripture, if someone had heard this passage for the first time, how difficult this would be. How difficult even to follow in our thinking what Paul says here in Romans chapter 5. But folks, I would say to you this morning that the Apostle Paul was not confused in his writing. He's not confused in his understanding, because he is writing by inspiration The Holy Spirit is working in Paul's mind to write the words of God. The Apostle Paul in this passage is dealing with the saving work of Jesus Christ at a level that pushes the limits of our human minds. Now, I say this to you so that you will not get discouraged or confused as we work our way through this passage. And frankly, it's easy to get confused. Someone told me this week that last week that I said something like this, that Christ's perfect disobedience was the remedy that would undo Adam's disobedience. See, it's easy to get confused. And it's easy to get... Now, I didn't mean that. That's not what Paul said in this passage. I meant Christ's perfect obedience. And yet, when you begin to look through this passage, you see obedience and disobedience and offense and righteous act and Adam and Christ, and you see it over and over, and you see it and say it in different ways by the Apostle Paul. And so it is a difficult passage. And I don't say that to you, and I don't emphasize that to you so that you'll turn your minds off and you'll say, "This is too hard for me." No. See, this moves us to ask for God's help. It moves us to listen with ears that will hear. And it moves us to desire to know what the Apostle Paul's saying in this passage. It's difficult because Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is taking us very deep into the structure of our salvation and the history of humanity and the working of God in all of that. And therefore, this should actually encourage us to be patient and to dig deeper and to work harder to understand the words of the Apostle Paul in this passage. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So last week, we looked at the big picture of Romans 5, this last part of Romans 5, and two truths stood out very clearly. First of all, this text will display to us the greatness of Jesus Christ in the way that He provides righteousness for sinners like you and me. And Paul does that by comparing the work of Jesus with the work of Adam, the first man. You see, Paul believes that we'll understand and we'll treasure the justifying work of Jesus better if we see that work of Jesus alongside the work of Adam. We'll treasure Jesus and love Jesus and know more of what Jesus has done for us. And then second, last week we touched upon this truth, very important truth. Paul shows us the worldwide, global importance of the work of Jesus Christ. You see, if Adam is the father of all human beings, and if the fundamental problem with all human beings is found in how we are related to Adam and what happened when Adam sinned, then everyone in the world that is related to Adam, and that is everyone in the world, no matter who we are or where we are, no matter what language, no matter what culture, no matter what ethnic background, everyone has the same fundamental problem. And that also means that Jesus Christ is not some limited Jewish religious leader, but He is the one and only remedy for the divine judgment that rests upon every human being because of our relation to Adam and his sin. And He is a great and gracious Savior who is able to save persons from all times and all places and all peoples. That's Jesus. And see, and Paul wants us to know this and see this from this passage. And so today, let's go back to the text and let's see what happened in Adam and how Paul shows the work of Jesus as the only remedy. We begin this morning with verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And I want you to notice carefully the last phrase in verse 12. Paul says, "Because all sinned." Because all sinned. Now look what he says in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So Paul says here that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world of mankind, and through this sin came death. Now let's stop there for a moment, because just in that truth itself, that should show us loud and clear, we're talking about serious things here. We're talking about things that affect every person in this room, every person on this planet. The seriousness cannot be unmeasured or taken for granted here in this statement. But notice carefully that Paul broadens out this statement, and he says that this death, this judgment, this penalty was not confined to one man, to the one man who sinned, but it spread to all humans. Paul says, thus death spread to all men. And if we're thinking and we're following the Apostle Paul, we should then say, why? Why did death spread to all men? And he gives the answer, the last phrase, because all sinned. All sinned. Now, does this mean then that all sinned in Adam? Does this mean that Adam's sin was the sin of the human race, so that when he sinned in a real and profound and mysterious way, that I sinned and you sinned? Is this what Paul means? Does he mean that Adam's sin was imputed or counted to us so that we are viewed as sinning in him? In other words, when Adam sinned, we sinned. Is this what Paul is saying? Or does this mean that the penalty and the judgment of death is owing to our individual acts of sin and not to Adam's sin imputed to us? And folks, I believe that Paul gives the answer in this passage. And Paul, I believe, makes it very clear. Paul means that we all sinned in Adam. Paul means that there is a connection between every one of us and Adam and his sin. Paul means that Adam's sin was imputed to us or counted to us. Paul means that universal death and judgment is on all of us because we were in some deep and mysterious way united or connected to Adam in his sinning. And when Adam sinned, we sinned. And every last one of us are connected to Adam and to Adam's sin. Now again, if we're following, we then ask the question, well, why is this important? Why is this important? What's the big deal here? I mean, why does Paul go in this direction in this passage? I mean, we already know that Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We already know that Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin or the penalty of sin is death. So if our judgment and condemnation are what the sins that we do every day deserve, then why does it matter if we find a deeper cause for our guilt and death and condemnation? Why is it so important that we are united with Adam in his sinning at the beginning? See, that's what Paul's saying here. Look again at verse 12. You don't want to miss it. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is just one of those very, very important verses of the Bible. And again, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. See, folks, what's at stake here as we work our way through this passage, what's important is this whole comparison between Jesus and Adam. And that's what Paul does in this passage. If we don't understand this last phrase in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, because all sinned, if we don't understand that to mean that all sinned in Adam, then the entire comparison between Jesus and Adam will be distorted, and we will not see and we will not understand the greatness of justification by grace through faith for what it truly is. So let me try to explain this importance in another way. If we say through one man sin and death entered the world, and death spread to everyone because all sinned individually, then the comparison with Jesus would go something like this. And so also through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness and life entered the world, and life spread to all men because all individually did acts of righteousness. And so justification then would not be God's imputing Christ's righteousness to us, but it would be our performing individual acts of righteousness with Christ's help and being counted righteous for those actions of righteousness. You see how important that is? You see how crucial that is? And that's why Paul clarifies it here in Romans chapter 5. And folks, what that means then is this, that as just as through one man sin and death entered the world and death spread to everyone because all sinned in Adam and Adam's sin was imputed to us, so also through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness entered the world and life through righteousness and life spread to all who are in Jesus Christ because His righteousness is imputed to us. See, that's the truth of justification. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here, and that's what he wants us to understand in this passage. And so the basis of our righteousness and our acceptance before God is not our righteous deeds, but it's Christ's righteousness imputed to us. Now let me say it another way. Just as Adam's sin is imputed to us because we were in Adam, so Christ's righteousness is imputed to us because by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. Amen. You see, there's the comparison. That's what Paul's doing in this passage. Look at verse 18. Because here's how Paul says it, and in verse 18 he's like this summary statement. He says, therefore, in other words, based on what he said before, he says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, what that means then, to put it simple, everyone in Adam is condemned. Everyone in Adam. And who is that? Who's everyone is everyone. All men. All men in Adam are condemned. But get this, everyone in Christ is justified. Adam's sin was imputed to us, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to all who believe in Him. See, that's the foundation of justification. Now, we need help in comprehending this. We need help in moving that through our thinking and our comprehension. We need understanding. So let's look now at verses 13 and 14. Paul helps us. He says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come." So we step back and we ask ourselves, what's Paul saying here? We begin to ask questions about this statement, but it goes something like this. So sin was in the world before the law of Moses. Sin was in the world before the law of Moses, verse 13. In other words, people were sinning before the law of Moses. Personal sin was in the world before the law of Moses. And it was not just Adam's sin that was in the world, but people sinned. People sinned before the law was given. But then Paul says, verse 13, that sin is not imputed, it's not counted, it's not punished where there is no law. So the emphasis is the law had not been given. And folks, where there's no written commandment or code, then there can be no disobedience to that written commandment or that code. And so he wants us to understand this. But then he says, verse 14, "Nevertheless, regardless of that, death reigned from Adam to Moses." In other words, everyone died. The law of Moses was not given. There was no written commandment. There was no code. And yet, people died. Everyone was punished. Now, what would Paul have us to see here? What would he have us to understand? And I hope you're following. We're trying to take our time as we're working through this. He wants us to see that universal human death was not owed to individual sins against the law of Moses, but universal human death was owed to all people sinning in Adam. See, there was no law, but people still died. So why did they die? They died because they were under the condemnation and the judgment of their connection with Adam. They sinned in Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says that death spread to all because all sinned. And then Paul explains. See, people died even though their own individual sins against the law of Moses was not the reason for their dying, because there was no law of Moses. They died when there was no law. They died from Adam to Moses. And the reason that all died is because all sinned in Adam. And Adam's sin was imputed to them, or counted to them. But Paul's not finished. Again, look at verse 14. He goes on, he adds these important words. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, even those who had no written law, even those who had no commandment from God." See, Adam had a commandment from God. God told Adam, "Don't eat." He had the command of God. So even those who had no written law, the law of Moses, even those who had no commandment from God like Adam, even those who had not sinned like Adam, who had disobeyed like Adam, they all died. They all died without seeing a law or choosing to sin against it. Folks, I hope you're staying with me, because we really need to ask the question, why? Why then is this judgment upon the whole human race? Why is it that we die? See, it may be difficult for us to comprehend this because we live in a world of laws, broken laws, by the way, laws that are broken. But yet, here's an example, and I want you to think about it. Here's an example. What about babies? What about infants? Babies died before the law of Moses. Babies died from Adam to Moses. Babies die today. Babies cannot understand personal revelation. Babies cannot read written laws or the laws written in their hearts. Babies cannot choose to obey or disobey the written code, the written law of commandments, and yet babies die. And they continue to die. Now, why is that? Why is that? And Paul's answer, and Paul's not dealing with babies here. This is just an illustration. Paul's answer is that the sin of Adam and the imputation of that sin extends to the whole human race. And death reigned over all humans, even those who did not sin against a known law or an understood law. And therefore, his conclusion in verse 18 is this: through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Now let's put this together. At the end of verse 12, the words "death spread to all men because all sinned" means that death spread to all because all sinned in Adam. See, death is not first and most deeply because of our own individual sinning. And there, it's related. That's important, but notice it's not first and most deeply because of our own individual sinning, but because of what happened in Adam. Look at the last phrase of verse 14. We mentioned this last week, the last phrase of verse 14, because Paul's talking here about Adam, and he says, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, who is the him who was to come? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So Adam is a type of him who was to come. Adam is a type of Christ. And folks, if we get anything from this teaching, and I hope you get more, but if we get anything from this teaching this morning, let's make sure that we get this, that right here, Paul says that Adam is a pattern for Christ. There is a parallel. There's a connection. And what is it? Here it is. The judicial consequences of Adam's sin are experienced by all of Adam's people, not on the basis of their individual sins like he did, but on the basis of Adam's people being in Adam and his sin being imputed to them. This, then, is the connection with Jesus Christ. Adam is the pattern. Now listen carefully, because the judicial consequences of Christ's righteousness are experienced by His people, not on the basis of their doing righteous deeds like Jesus did, but on the basis of their being in Christ and His righteousness being imputed to them. Amen. You see, there's the connection. There's the pattern. And if you get anything from this today, you get this. That pattern and that connection is there. And we who are in Adam are saved from that sin because of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are now in Christ. Amen. And so you are today either in Adam or you're in Christ. Amen. There's two groups of people here today. you're either still in Adam or you're in Christ by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the deepest reason why death reigns over all is not because of our individual sins, but because of Adam's sin imputed to us. And folks, the deepest reason eternal life reigns is not because of our individual deeds of righteousness, but because Christ's righteousness is imputed to us by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So do you see then why Paul goes deep here? Do you see why he gives this teaching? We really have to work our way through it. I mean, it's takes labor and it takes effort to work through this passage and to understand what Paul was saying. He did it for us. He did it for our faith and our assurance and our joy. And he did it to emphasize the fact that our right standing with God and our freedom from condemnation is not based on our righteous acts, but on Christ's righteous acts. And folks, this is the great solid rock foundation of this truth of justification by grace alone, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And it's this truth that has rescued countless Christians from the bondage of legalism and the fear of failure in their lives. Because our righteous standing before God is not based on our good works, but it's based on Christ's good works for us. That is the basis of our right standing before God. This is the foundation of our right standing before God. Now, of course, that does not mean that we don't do good works. And that doesn't mean that we don't do righteous acts. But these good works and these righteous actions are not for our justification. They are because of our justification. And so you see how people can get so confused and how they can get so messed up in their Christian lives because they twist that around. Our justification before God is based entirely and completely and only on the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us by God's grace through faith. Jesus Christ became obedient unto death so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And folks, this morning, mothers this morning, here is rest for your soul. Here is rest for your soul as God's people today. Here is joy for your life today. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus and receive Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for this passage that is laid before us today, and for the assurance and the joy and the gladness that we can experience by this truth. And oh God, help us to share it with others. Father, I pray this morning if there's anyone here today who is in Adam, who has not been rescued, who has not received the remedy for that sin imputed to them, Adam's sin, I pray, dear God, that today would be the day that they receive the remedy, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, today that today would be the day that they receive a righteousness which is not their own. I pray today, Father, that today would be the day when they see themselves as hopeless and helpless, not only in their individual sins, but in the sin that they have inherited from Adam, that sin that was imputed to them from Adam. And that they would see themselves as lost and see themselves as in need of a Savior. Oh, Father, you can do that. You can open blind eyes and darkened hearts. And God, I pray today for that mercy. And Lord, I pray for your people that we would truly be joyful at what Christ has done for us. And as we continue to work through this scripture, this word that is before us, God, help us. And may it just be used by you to sanctify us and change us, to help us to see more deeply what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, and affect and influence our lives for your glory. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.